Well, it is our interest in your prayers this evening as we look into the Word of God. And I know we've made the comment many times, and we will continue to do that, that fair questions deserve fair answers. So tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to address the question, should Christian women wear dresses and skirts in public versus wearing a pair of pants? Now, everything that we teach should be founded on the Word of God. And if we have a practice in the Church of God, but we never give the reason and never teach on the subject, then it is going to get lost and it will fall by the wayside or relegated to just a tradition or a matter of personal conviction as opposed to a biblical doctrinal teaching. So sincere questions, I think when someone has a question that's sincere, they're open and wanting to understand. Anything that I bring out tonight, someone could nitpick and criticize and debate. But when we have a heart that is open to the Lord, that's when the Spirit of the Lord can begin to lead us in our understanding of a myriad of subjects from the Word of God. So if we believe something is biblical, and as a ministry we fail to teach on it, then we are going to end up in error. And my prayer is that we would know the will of God, and if you have questions on the subject, my prayer is that God would direct you in a very clear path. And after the lesson this evening, we'll open it up for questions and comments. But it has been a practice of women professing godliness to wear a loose-fitting garment, such as a robe in the Old Testament or in Bible times, or a skirt or a dress for hundreds of years in the Judeo-Christian heritage. So some would point to other cultures, but why would we be interested in pointing to a pagan culture or a culture that is not following God as an example for us to follow today? So for thousands of years, it has been a practice of godly women to wear a loose-fitting garment, robe, skirt, dress, or something similar. There are many scriptural issues, and I'm going to try to be very precise in this lesson tonight, okay? So there are many scriptural issues, and some of them are direct and some of them are peripheral to this subject of the outward appearance. But for the sake of this discourse tonight, I'm not going to cover every pertinent issue on the subject of modesty and the outward appearance, but I want to deal with the issue of proper women's attire in this culture, in this generation, coming down to the question of a dress and skirts versus the wearing of pants. So I'm going to lay a foundation, because without a foundation, everything else is going to be in vain. Foundation, first point, is our purpose. Our purpose should be in every area of life to please God. If we're not interested in pleasing God in all these other areas of life, someone's not going to have a desire to please God as it pertains to the outward appearance. So the foundation of this discussion and lesson tonight is that our purpose should be above everything else that, Lord, I want to please you. And I want to live in a way that you would be thankful for and glad for. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to what? The glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and that covers the outward appearance, doesn't it? Do it to the glory of God. Do you realize that some of the issues, especially how our society is dressing today, that would take care of most of those things? There would still be some issues of question and seeking God, but if our heart is to glorify God rather than please people around us and exalt ourselves, it would take care of a lot of these issues of modesty and the questions that are out there. So everything we wear Here's a basic tenet for men and women alike. Everything that we wear, it should be for the glory of God. If it's not for the glory of God and it's for your glory, the Lord would have us lay that thing aside. If someone does not have a heart and a mind to please God, they will not understand everything in the balance that we'll share tonight. I'm going to share some things that we're not making a capital case on one point, all right? But it is taking a number of different points and examining them, and together they lead us to in a certain direction, all right? But you could argue over each point individual if you wanted them, but we want to take everything in the whole, everything in balance. So are we wanting to please God, or are we wanting to please ourselves? And you will find that people that are pushing, and I mentioned that for thousands of years, generally speaking, in the Judeo-Christian heritage, women have worn robes and dresses and skirts, something that was loose and flowing, okay? So if someone does not want to please God and they're wanting to please themselves, that's going to answer those questions right there. Because if I'm wanting to please myself, I really don't care what people have done. I really don't care where God's blessings have been. And I'm not interested in pleasing God anyway. So I think it's a fair question, because there are people that will argue, especially people that are going away from truth. All right? They will argue this issue. You can't tell me it's sin. However, sit back and watch people that have that argument and see where it takes them. Okay? And there's a big difference in whether someone is coming to the truth or going away from the truth. You will find that before very long, people that are arguing on issues of that it's fine for a woman to wear pants, you will find that it oftentimes leads to many other issues that are clearly contrary to the Word of God. I've seen it happen over and over and over. So, purpose is to please God. Number two, we have to be honest with ourselves. As with every doctrine and every decision that we make in life, we have to be honest with ourselves. So we need to carefully measure our desire and our purpose in addressing these issues. As with other spiritual things, it takes honesty to expose our motivations. If I'm wanting to do something my way, you can take almost any scripture you want and you can twist it a little bit to prove your point. But we have to be honest with ourselves and with God. What is motivating me to make the decisions in my life that I am? Number three, holiness is a condition of heart. And this is all foundation. Holiness is a condition of heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and what? And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is purity. So if you go to town, go to the shopping mall, just walk down the street, sit on a park bench and look around you, do you see holiness as a whole? Do you see purity? Do you see things that when you look at someone that it elicits a thought of purity and godliness? So do you realize that holiness, yes, is a condition of heart, but if it's in our heart, it also should be on the outward appearance. And our world is rife with impurity and ungodliness, that too many people, if they're wanting to live pure, they're having to turn their heads. All of us need to dress in a way that someone does not have to turn their head away because of impurity that we are portraying to them. So holiness is a condition of heart, and holiness is to be in the outward man as well as the inward. And with that, very important in Matthew chapter 23, verse 26, Jesus was speaking, he said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is where? That which is within. Cleanse first. So it's not an issue tonight of we're going to make a list of rules, and if you follow this list of rules, you're going to be holy. Because, you know, you could put a dress on a pig and it's still a pig. That may not be a good analogy. But my point being is, I mentioned to you Sunday, you could take a drunk And you could put them in a, you could give them a bath, get them cleaned up, you could give them a haircut, and give them a nice suit of clothes, and they're still a drunk. We can do the same thing with issues of modesty. Just because someone is measured to some outward standard of modesty does not make them holy and pure. Because purity and holiness is a condition of heart. And so it takes a work of salvation that my heart has been changed. And that's where there's value to the Lord. So Jesus said, cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean. In other words, if the inside is clean, then the natural fruit of the inside being holy is the outward would be holy, right? If my heart is pure and I'm holy, why would I want to wear something? Whether you're a man or a woman, why would you want to wear something that could elicit lust in someone else or something that is revealing your body to someone? Why, if my heart is holy, why would we want to do that? So Jesus was saying, get your heart clean first. There are some people who would like to start measuring everybody up on the outside. But do you know what that does? It causes resentment. It causes resentment. Now, young people and children, your parents have a responsibility to require you. And yes, I said require. Whether you are saved or not, parents have a duty to teach their children and require them to adhere to a standard of godliness in the home. But at the same time, that doesn't change the heart. And so then if we require this and say, well, if you attend service here, you have to do this. Have people say, well, if I come to women ask me before, they say, do I have to wear a dress? Do you know what my answer is? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We just are thankful for you to be here. Come as we want you to come. I would like people to be respectful in whatever they do wear. But we're not putting rules and regulations on people because Jesus said, cleanse first what's inside, and then the natural result will be that the outside will start to be cleansed. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so ye also appear outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So, here's what Jesus is saying, and I'll put in a little different words. We have all seen women, I'm sure, who have dressed very modestly and were carnal and bitter and hard to get along with. I would much rather work with a woman that's wearing a pair of pants and has a sweet disposition and has some of the graces and fruit of Christ than someone that on the outside is measured up to just to a T and yet is difficult and bitter and unforgiving and sharp with her words. So where's the balance? Because see, the enemy has used this very point. They said, well, you know, them in the church, and yes, in amongst the body of Christ. You know how they act. You don't want to be like there, and she's dressed modestly, so we don't want to be like that. Guess what? I don't want to be like that either. But that does not mean that we throw modesty out the door, just like when you see find someone, we'll say a man or a woman, but someone that maybe is not dressed as carefully as they ought to be, all right? And yet they have an experience with God. And you can see they have a desire to serve the Lord, and there's a sweetness in their disposition. We don't just embrace everything they do either. So on both sides of that, it doesn't make either one of them right or wrong by itself. All right? So that's really important because I've heard this argument. Well, look at them. Well, we want the whole truth, don't we? So let's take the modesty of the carnal person, that if they're doing it according to the word, and let's take the sweetness of the person that may not quite be measured to the fullness of the scripture, and let's bring those together because what we want to do is be in conformity to Christ. That's the goal. We're not to measure ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. And come around and say, well, I'm just a little longer, a little tighter, a little more buttoned up than they are. Folks, that is for self-righteous people. Okay? If our desire is to please God, our purpose should be, Lord, I want the fullness of truth. And if there are people that are compromising in their outward appearance, and there's people that are compromising in their attitudes, I don't want either one of those. But I want the fullness of the truth. So holiness is a condition of heart. Number four, and this is a foundation. Number four, our focus should always be more on the heart than it is the outward appearance. Because character is always more important than the outward appearance. If the heart is not right, and a little bit of this is repetitious, but if the heart is not right, the outward standards and works will be in vain. An outward standard, people that use an outward standard to hide unrighteousness are hypocrites. That's hypocrisy. And I will say that's done a lot of damage to the work of God. People that dress modestly and act carnally. And then people get the message that, oh, this is how Christians act. So we want the focus to always be on the inside. Also of note, have you ever heard people say, well, all the saints talk about is the outward person. They always talk about dress. How long has it been, aside from tonight, that you have heard a lesson that was just focused on that issue? But do you know what happens with people that walk away from truth? Do you know very quickly what they're focused on? Dress. They're focused on the outward person. And then on the other hand, the same people that complain about, if they want to say the standard, are the same people that say, well, that's all we hear about. And then in the next breath, they're saying, I just don't understand it. Okay, well, maybe you don't understand because we need to teach more on it. If you go down and listen to what's being preached and taught, the emphasis among God's people is the inward man. And yet, there is a place to teach on some of these things. So, hence, we're answering that question tonight. So, our focus should always be on the inward man, but it's a package deal. Inward and at the outside. There are cultural and generational changes that take place. We're not wearing robes anymore. I don't see anybody, any of the sisters here wearing a robe tonight. There are differences and changes that take place, and that's fine, as long as they are still in conformity to what the Bible teaches. So that we're not perpetuating dressing like they did in the time of Christ, nor are we trying to advocate dressing like they did in the 1880s. We look very different than they did in the 1880s. And frankly, some of the standards that some of the sisters held, if you go back and look at pictures of that time, I think they could have done a little better in some areas. And there are areas that in some, my parents' generation, you know, in the 60s and the 50s and the 60s, there were some standards. People say, well, they used to dress this way. That's not our benchmark. Because there were some things that were getting pretty short at that time. I'm just being real open with you. So what? That's not our benchmark. Our benchmark is the Word of God, okay? We're not trying to align ourselves with a generation or a society because those things change. And we're going to change too. You go to the store to buy clothes and there are some things that we don't wear because of modesty issues. And there's other things that it's generational and we'll wear them as long as it fits under the umbrella of the Word of God. So we are not perpetuating dressing like they did there. There's differences in culture. But the differences between how we dress, and this applies to all of us, and the world is getting greater and greater. Okay? So when we go back and look at the 1880s, there was a difference between the saints and the world, but it wasn't near the difference that there is today. Because at that time, women wore dresses, right? That was accepted. For a woman at that time, and I will say now, and I may say it again, we are not having sisters meeting here. So there are some things I will not dress as explicitly as we could. But at that time, for a woman to even show her ankle intentionally could be considered a little risque. Okay, very immodest. And so we are not, the dress is different, and there's going to be a greater difference because that was just in society. That wasn't even in the church. That was in society. So look how far our society has fallen. So as our world gets more and more evil, there is going to be a greater and greater difference between how we live and how we act and how we look than in the society around us. I trust that that's clear. As the world gets worse, there's a greater difference, and that is taking place in issues of dress as well. So with that foundation in mind, that is the foundation for addressing this subject. So some may ask this, and I'll say it now, is it even appropriate for a man to address these issues? Do you know who was the author? We know it was God. It was the Holy Spirit. But who wrote the books of the New Testament? How many women wrote a book that's in the New Testament? They were all men, wasn't it? It was a man that wrote. The elder women are to teach the younger. And then what did he go ahead to do? He went ahead and expounded on how a woman was to dress and conduct herself. It is not inappropriate for a man to do some teaching on this subject, but a man is incapable of teaching by example. The greatest teaching that is done is by example. And true, there are some things that would not be appropriate for a man to address in a public setting, and that would be a place for the sisters to do. Okay, so some would say, well, even talking about this is going against the word. That is an incorrect assessment of what the New Testament teaches on this subject. So it is, we have a long history of brethren teaching on these subjects when it's done in decency and in order. So the question of whether a Christian woman should exclusively wear dresses or skirts is answered, and I'm going to address it in four ways. And there is some merging of this, okay? So it is answered by scriptural, historical, cultural, and religious factors, okay? So we're going to start with the most important, which is scriptural. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is our primary scripture that we are going to examine on this subject. So what does the Bible say about a woman's outward appearance? 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, it says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So he said, how is a woman to be adorned? He said, with modest apparel. And we're going to come back to that. He went on to say to be adorned with shamefacedness. You know what shamefacedness is? It's downcast eyes. It's bashfulness. That's what the word means. But it also means to show honor and show regard. That in a way a woman dresses and conducts herself is showing respect for someone else. All right? It's showing respect. It doesn't mean a woman is supposed to go down with her eyes down. But her demeanor is to be reflective of the humility and holiness of Christ. And while this strays from the subject minorly, is it not interesting that the makeup of our world is doing just the opposite of that? They're trying to, this says shamefaced. In other words, I'm not trying to draw attention to myself, but yet what makeup, especially, I don't know what all the words are, but around the eyes, they're trying to draw attention to that. They're trying to do things to draw attention to themselves. And that's directly contrary to what this scripture is talking about. And there's more scriptures that could address this. But he said with shamefacedness. And he said with sobriety. And sobriety has something to do with this subject as well. Sobriety, the Greek word, means sanity. It means self-control or soberness. As opposed to being ostentatious or something that excites. Okay, so a woman was told to dress with sobriety, to adorn herself with sobriety. Adorn yourself in a way that does not excite or draw on the lust of someone else. Okay? I trust that this is clear. Let me give a little example. The world will tell you what a miniskirt does. Do you realize that a miniskirt is not a pair of after sobriety? Because it's showing something off. It's not shamefaced. It's not sobriety. Because it is drawing on something. The same thing, and this could be further discussed in sisters' meeting, but the same thing with a slit in a skirt. Do you realize that a skirt, and I'm going to read you something from Adam Clark here in a moment on this subject, but even a slit does something to draw the eye. That's what a slit was intended to do. It was intended to draw the eye. So some would say, well, I have a long skirt, but if you have a long slit and a long skirt, it can almost tend to be more immodest than just having on a shorter skirt. Okay? And if you don't understand, I would encourage you to talk to your dads and your husbands and talk, you know, and they can help you understand that principle. All right, moving on then. He said, not with broidered hair, gold, pearls, or costly array. In other words, we are not to be defined by those things of the world. This is in our subject is not jewelry this evening, but that encompasses that. It's not with gold. He said, adorn yourself with modest apparel, shamefacedness, and sobriety, and not with. That seems pretty clear. Not with gold or pearls or costly array. In other words, he wants our whole being to be reflective of simplicity, holiness, and godliness in every way in which we adorn ourselves. So it brings us to this issue of modest apparel. I want to tell you what the Greek says on it. The Greek is kosmios katastole. Modest apparel is kosmios katastole. So Vine's expository dictionary defines kosmios this way. An orderly, well-arranged, decent, modest. So modesty in the scriptures applied is much or more to one's behavior, all right, as it is the outward appearance. Katastole, so kosmios is orderly and well-arranged. Let me just say this at this juncture. It is not enough to say, well, I'm wearing a dress, or I'm liberated from worldliness. I can just dress however, and I've been set free from bondage of the fads and the fashions, and I can be sloppy. Do you realize that dressing sloppily is, I won't say just as wrong, but it's contrary to what the Scripture teaches here? I'm not talking about when you're out doing your gardening, your painting, okay? Please understand the balance here. But if a woman dresses sloppily, she's not well-ordered. And that is a reproach to the cause of Christ. I've seen women before, just like you have, that they were wearing long dresses, but they were so out of order. It was sloppy and it was reproachful to the cause. Modesty means well-ordered. And our world is getting away from that as well. Aunt Quita Elwell used to teach the younger ones quite often on this subject. But a woman is to dress feminine. She's to be feminine. She's to dress like a woman. She's to dress like a girl. She's not to wear the things that are just sloppy and unkept, but she's to be well-ordered and decent. That's part of what modesty takes in. All right, so go on with katastole then. It comes from the word kata and stole. Now, here's where we get into Scripture, dresses, pants. Kata means down. All right, that word that was translated here in English, apparel, means it comes from kata and stole. And kata means down, a garment flowing down. And stole means to send. It means a long, loose outer garment covering or wrapping. So that word together, katastole, he said women should be adorned with modest apparel. Modest apparel, kosmios katastole, means an apparel, a lowering or letting down, a garment let down, a dress. So, a long garment or robe, and this comes out of the Complete Word Dictionary. a long garment or robe reaching down to the feet. That's what catastole means. So I want to read to you something that Adam Clark said on this subject. He said, this was his insight on catastole. He said, the apostle seems to refer here to different parts of the Grecian and Roman dress. The stola seems to have been originally very simple. It was a long piece of cloth doubled in the middle and sewed up on both sides, leaving room for the arms at the top. A piece was cut out. Now, this was cultural. A piece was cut out or a slit made through which the head passed. It hung down to the feet, both before and behind, and was girded with the zona around the body just under the breast. It was sometimes made with and sometimes without sleeves, that it might sit the better. It was gathered on each shoulder with a band or buckle. Now, here's something interesting. Some of the Greek women wore them open on the side. So he's saying some of the Greek women wore them open on the side from the bottom up above the knee so as to discover a part of the thigh. So this robe they would wear, some of them were sewed, it was all the way down, and there were other Grecian women that would have a slit up above the knee from the bottom on both sides. And he said here, these were termed showers or discoverers of the thigh, but it was in general only young girls or immodest women who wore them thus. So, the standard of women still today, scripturally, is to be adorned with kosmios catastole, which means a modest, decent, orderly garment that is let down, long, loose, and flowing. So a crotch garment such as pants, they are not let down, nor are they flowing. And this scripture was very directly given to the sisters. He was addressing the sisters. You need to wear a garment that is let down, that is loose, that is flowing. Pants, mini skirts, short dresses, tight clothes are not modest apparel for women professing godliness according to this scripture. So how long is long? You might find it interesting if we took more time with the scripture. You find in Isaiah 47:2, and there's others, that nakedness in the Bible was referred to as anything above the knee. Okay? So when a woman had a garment on that revealed her knee or above, that's what it talked about when it said she was showing her thigh, and that was nakedness. That was anything above the knee. So I think that's noteworthy when we look at what the scripture defines as nakedness. And so a garment that is let down and long and flowing, if it's too tight, it's in form-fitting, it's not after sobriety, it's not modest, it's not decent, it doesn't become godliness. Adam and Eve, as a note, remember when their eyes were open when they sinned, and it said that they made themselves aprons? It wasn't good enough for God. You remember that? What did God make them? Coats. God made them coats. Coats denote something to me of covers a lot more than an apron. It wasn't sufficient. So God made them coats of skin and clothed them. So anything above the knee. So I will just say this carefully. On length, it should be modest. Brother Austis taught us this in public forms just like this. He was my pastor growing up. He said, again, kind of along the same lines, fair questions are fair answers. He didn't say it that way. But it's like when people ask, well, how long is long? And he said, I will just give you a straight answer. And this was an opinion, okay? This the Bible doesn't say you have to get the measuring tape and it's supposed to be this length. They changed with time. Used to, they hit the floor. And then in the 60s, I'd say they were pushing that knee. And now, they kind of go up and down and back and forth. But the key point is that be well covered when you sit down. When a woman sits down, Brother Austin said, a 3/4 length dress Three-quarter length is appropriate. There's enough fabric there. When you sit down, you're covered. And so anyway, the scripture very clearly, especially along the cultural lines there, as he said, a shower of the thigh is anything above the knee. That was nakedness. So anything that does that is frankly not modest. A man should not have to turn his head. When a godly woman sits down, a godly man should not have to turn his head. There's some objections to what I've shared with you here. One of those objections is, so women in our country generally don't wear robes, because it is true that the most direct reference to Paul's admonition there would have been a robe, wouldn't it? But there is a principle. There is a scriptural principle that endures through the generations of something long and loose and flowing. And there are many commentators out there that try to tear that truth down as they try to tear down all other types of doctrines. And I'm very aware of that fact, but that's where we always have to come back to the foundation that we started with. Historical factors. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. First of all, that's Old Testament, all right? But again, there is an underlying commonality that runs through into the New Testament on that subject. The Old Testament, another version says, a woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear a woman's clothing, for the Lord your God detests it. It was not until the 20th century, and I'm speaking of this country, it was not really until the 20th century in the Western world that women began wearing pants. During the World Wars, when their husbands were gone to war, women left their homes and began to work in factories, and some of them began wearing pants on the job. But one of the big pushes was with the feminist movement. They were changing their role as primary homemakers, and they were going out in the workforce trying to compete with men, and there was a big push in the feminist movement to put on pants and to leave their roles as homemakers. And it was a breakdown of God's appointed roles of men and women in the home and in society. And women wearing pants was just one area that spoke of the spirit behind the feminist movement. Pants were a symbol of authority. Ever heard the question asked, who wears the pants in the family? In our society, people, both of them are. But do you know what's happening? Both of them aren't to wear the pants in the family. The Lord still placed a man to be the head of the home. And when people, that question just exemplifies that even in our culture, that question denoted that pants were the man's position of authority that was in the home. And the feminist movement is what began to try to compete with that truth culturally. So are we going to go move away from scriptural truth, moved by our cultural justifications? If change happens, we need to ask ourselves, what's prompting the change? Is the change done going to interfere with what the Bible teaches? In this case, it did. Change is not all wrong. But then I also say, well, maybe it doesn't matter scripturally. Maybe there's a little room there. So then let's look and see what the push is in society. What prompted the change in the Western world was the women's feminist movement more than almost anything else. And that clearly, I'm not talking about men and women not being equal. There were some good things that came out of that. But there were also a lot of things that came in trying to break down the role of men and women. And there was a feminist mindset which many holiness people have been affected by in this generation. And I encourage the sisters and the young women not to buy into the mentality of the world. I don't see homes being happier. I don't see families prospering more. I don't see women being happier because of their so-called liberation. So there is a place of following the godly, biblically defined roles, and you'll find a happy life there. So for almost 6,000 years in the Judeo-Christian heritage, all right, women wore robes and long dresses and skirts. And it was only in the last 100 years that all of a sudden skirts or dresses just weren't practical to wear. Measure that by culture and history, and most of all by the Word of God. Have just a little bit more, if you'll give me a little more time this evening. Cultural factors. I mentioned there some of the historical factors, and a few cultural factors that really blend with that are the gender roles that God placed in the Scripture. There are very clear gender roles that God gave. Biblically, historically, and culturally, men and women are different. And do you see what's happening in our world today on that? People are trying to make gender a choice. And it's so contrary to what the Bible teaches. Pants are traditionally, in the Judeo-Christian heritage, pants are traditionally men's apparel. And when he talked about women not wearing men's apparel historically, understand that that was talking about, to start with, a men's armor. A woman is not to put on the armor of a man. That was the specific reference. That was Old Testament, indeed. But the Scripture went on to say, but a woman is not to, or a man is not to wear woman's apparel either. In our culture, a Judeo-Christian culture, holy women for 6,000 years have worn a garment let down. Our society that is growing so evil is what has brought about that change, as well as many other changes. So pants are traditionally male clothing. Dresses and skirts are considered female clothing. We want to talk about culture. When a woman really wants to look like a woman, what does she put on? Even today, in 2023, what does a woman put on when she wants to be feminine and wants to look like a woman? What does she put on? Doesn't she? She puts on a dress. Now, it might not be modest. It might not be flowing. But it's because there is still in this generation a recognition that a dress is women's apparel. And so as holy people of God, take it. Let's take it as it. Let's let these building blocks be there for us. What about when a man in our society wants to look like a woman? What does he do? Does he go get a pair of women's pants at the store? That's a horrible example. But it brings out a point culturally. What does a man do that wants to look like a woman? He puts on a dress, doesn't he? Because our culture still recognizes that a dress is women's apparel and pants are men's apparel. And so then, 1 Corinthians 6:9, it talks about a man not being effeminate. The same thing applies to a woman. And one of the, what's the universal symbol for bathrooms, for men and women's bathrooms in our, even today still, I'm sure it's going to change here sometime soon. But even in our culture, is it not a universal symbol that a woman is wearing a dress? We're talking about in our ungodly generation. How much more among God's people? Just one more building block to consider. So our, and one other point there, our society still today recognizes a woman that is wearing a modest dress. They recognize her as what? As a lady and as holiness. We've had so many people come up to us and say, y'all are holiness, aren't you? How did they know that? Because even our ungodly generation recognizes that a woman in a modest dress is representing a standard of holiness. So then, when people say, well, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, so the outside really doesn't matter. Do you know they're really shooting themselves in the foot with that argument? Because God looks in the heart, but you don't know my heart, and I don't know your heart, so our first impressions are formed by what we see. And so man looks on the outward appearance, and even in, again, I'm repeating it, in this generation, when people see a woman dressed in a modest, long, not tight, a flowing skirt or dress, they recognize that's holiness. Now, before they even know what kind of attitude you have. And if you have a bad attitude, then it kind of turns everything upside down, doesn't it? But we address that issue. All right? So even our society recognizes it. So for these reasons, and I mentioned some scriptural, historical, cultural, religious factors we're going to address, and that'll be our last major point. These are the reasons why that women wear dresses. It's more than tradition. It's more than culture. It's more than society. But it's all of these things together. It's all of these things together. They point us to that direction. And for those that have deviated from that, I have not seen the fruit of holiness. And I'm not just talking about dress or pants. I have not seen the fruit of holiness come from it. Religious factors, we are a called out people. Are we trying to please our society and fit in? Are we trying to please the Lord? We are a called out people. Leviticus 18, after the doings of the land of Canaan, Leviticus 18, verse 3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So that's the Old Testament. Don't do like the people around you. Don't follow their evil ways. Don't follow their lustful ways. Don't follow after that. But Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is Old Testament for it, but there's New Testament. Let's not be conformed to the world. Let's not be drawn into what's motivating the changes in the dress. But let's go back to what the Word of God teaches. Is it sober? Is it shamefaced? Is it modest apparel? Is it orderly? Does it cover? Does it excite? What does it do? And if we follow that, keeping in mind all of these other building blocks, I believe it will generally bring the honest seeking heart to a place that we're not too far off in our dress standards. There have been differences from culture to culture, and we don't go try to westernize someone, but you will find that there is a common element here found in many different cultures. Even in Africa, when we first went to Malawi, they had just changed the law, but it had been illegal for anybody, a woman, to wear pants. She had to wear a dress. It was illegal for her to do anything but that. And this is in Malawi, Africa. Now, they've changed that. I've watched the changes taking place in Africa the last 30 years, and it's happened quickly and much faster than it did in this country because of the ease of communication. But we're not to be conformed to this world. We are, 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So, who are we trying to please? I know that there's a natural desire for people to, I'll say especially for girls, young women, ladies, to want to look nice. Is there anything wrong with that? I want to look nice. I hope you do want to look nice. There's a difference in having that desire to look nice and being prideful and following after something that's not modest. We need to look presentable. There's nothing wrong with that. And I just want to say that, those sisters that follow after this pattern of godliness, a 6,000-year pattern, if you will, this pattern of godliness, there is a beauty that is found in them that is not found out in the world. Some of you may remember one of my son's friends from college came one. A number of years ago, he came. And when he left, this was his comment. He said, wow, the girls there are beautiful. And this is someone that was in college campus, saw lots of stuff. And he said, wow, those girls are beautiful at your church. Do you know why? Because God will beautify the meek with salvation. And there is nothing more beautiful than a woman that is following after the way of holiness and humility and godliness. There is a shine to the face. There is an innocence. There is a glory because of the presence of God. And I want to encourage especially you younger sisters, holiness is beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. You sisters never need hold your head in down and be ashamed for following the course of holiness, because it's the right way, it's the good way, it's a beautiful way, and that's where the blessings of the Lord are. And the Lord does not want this to be a begrudging sacrifice. Well, I have to keep the... No, Lord, if maybe I don't understand, I want to come and I want to get close to you. I want to please you, Lord. So when I go to my closet and I look at men and women alike, when I open up the closet or I go to the store, it's like, Lord, what I wear, I want to cover me. And I want to be pleasing to you. And I want you to be glorified. And hence, we have a wonderful heritage in the church of God. It's more than heritage. It's more than culture. It's more than society. There's scripture, there's culture, there is background, and there's reason for the standard that we have held among us as a people, and it's more than tradition. As we close here, in conclusion, God created all of us different. He created men and women differently, and He expects us to conduct ourselves appropriately for our gender. And society is doing everything it can to break down the barriers between men and women, and dress is just one of those areas. So where do we start teaching? You know, that's why it's so important for parents to start teaching their children at a young age. I'm not talking about a babe in arms. You all understand that. We're not talking about being fanatical about this subject. But do you realize that even when a little girl, and I remember, you know, we had Vanessa in the home, but even when they're really little, you start teaching them. You put them in a dress or a skirt, and you have to say, okay, keep your skirt down, put your dress down. And so they have leggings on. But you start teaching them to be aware of modesty. You start teaching them an awareness of it. It does, and that's why, you know, sometimes there's a little more immodesty in a dress than there is a pair of pants if they're not keeping themselves with decorum, right? And so that's why we start teaching at a very young age how to behave themselves. You put someone in a pair of pants, a woman or a girl in a pair of pants, she will start acting and walking differently. It's the reality of the matter. And so that's why we want to teach our girls what becomes godliness. And we start teaching that at a young age. I would like to say, if you all will, I really am going to be done here just a moment. In a couple moments. There is a danger that I have seen happening among some of God's people. There are some activities and places that people, that some of the young ladies have felt like they would start wearing leggings under their dresses. Thinking, well, I'm covered. And there are some things that maybe it is that extra layer of protection. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But if a sister is going to wear leggings, that's not an excuse to let the dress start going up higher. And I have observed that happening. And it's kind of almost one of those gateway situations. Because then they get comfortable and their leg is showing many times above their knee. But in their mind, it's like, I'm covered with my leggings. So I just want to encourage us and just be an awareness of that fact, that if someone's wearing leggings, as we teach our children and young people, that does the skirt or the dress still needs to be long and flowing, and those leggings, if necessary, are just that extra layer, an extra place of protection as it pertains to modesty. Closing, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's what it comes down to in everything we do. Lord, I want to please you. I want to glorify you with how I live and how I act and what I wear. So we're not making a singular case out of any one of these points, all right? But it's these all working together that brings us to this place, and it's been a good and a right way. So I trust the Lord bless you all. If there's anybody here, anybody listening that does not understand, if you approach the Lord with openness and honesty, I believe He will lead you in the right path. Amen.